gracious Father.
Oh,
with deepness of sincerity, we bow our hearts in thy presence. Thou hast truly been good to us, Lord. Thou hast given us health and strength. And thou hast appointed a time for us that we can all assemble together in heavenly places. And knowing that no doubt many have come from different parts of the country, gathered here to meet with you, Lord. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will not let your people be disappointed, but that thou will do the exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. I am persuaded that thou knowest every need that is in thy divine presence today. And out of thy inexhaustible supply, I pray that your grace would flow out freely unto all. And may you encourage the hearts of your children. May you give them that deep, satisfied feeling on the inside that all is well. May you meet with everyone in a personal way, Father. May you bless your ministering servants. And dear God, even the churches that is represented here, if there be strangers or visitors within our gates, them who might not yet have come to know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, dear God, that your grace would touch them today, that they could share this great hope that we have within us, that they would be able to see this light that you have sent, and by walking in this light, they might find true fellowship with you. Speak to us out of thy word. Bless each and every one, Father. Lord, the people have been waiting quite a length of time. But refresh them all with your presence. Lift the tiredness away from them, Father. And may the joys of the Holy Spirit fill our hearts. We love you and appreciate you. And we ask these mercies in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the Word of God in the book of Genesis. We'd like to read out of chapter 2. We're going to begin reading from verse 18. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him." And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. In Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may have a seat. I want to take for a title, Christ, the second Eve, is the mystery of God revealed in the mystical body. Amen. And I'm taking a little inspiration from the message, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. We know God came in Jesus Christ. And God has been revealed in that corporal body. But in this hour, God has been revealed in his mystical body. And that the true revelation of that bride must be properly and scripturally identified to prove that she is part of the bridegroom, and God must confirm that. It is one thing for a man to make a claim, but it's another thing for God to confirm it. Many people make many claims, but the prophet said that's the reason they holler and don't get nothing. Amen. But those who are really part of him, those who are part of his body, that is his bride, the ones he shed his blood for, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And in this evening time, according to the scripture, it was prophesied that God would send a prophet, because a prophet would be necessary at this time. Because we have come through a denominational age where we have over 900 interpretations of the Bible. And each one is claiming that they are the true church. The reason that people go in the Baptist is because the Baptists believe that they have the truth. The reason that the people are in the Seventh-day Adventists is because they believe that they have the truth. The reason that they are in the Pentecostal church, they believe that they have the truth. And each one has their own interpretation of what they believe the word of God is. Amen. But according to the word of God, God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. And God has a word promise for this last day also. What a joy that would be for each one of us if we know that we have the scriptural identification that identifies us to be that bride. When Jesus came, he couldn't just come and say, I am the Messiah, believe in me. Because for 4,000 years, the people looked for the Messiah. Since the promise was given in the Garden of Eden, the woman shall receive a seed. And that seed will bruise the serpent's head. That's the first prophecy that was given of redemption. And without that original prophecy, all the rest of the Bible would be meaningless. Because the rest of the Bible is only expanding and developing that original prophecy. And that promise which was given to Adam and Eve by Almighty God was a promise of He, the promiser, was going to come to the human race as the very promise himself. And he was going to come for a specific purpose. He was going to come for redemption. And this very Bible that we have, it's a book of redemption. Because when we look in Genesis, Genesis means the book of beginnings. It is the seed chapter of the entire Bible. And then the Bible ends with Revelation. And Revelation is the harvest time. Everything in the book of Revelation is in sevens. Seven church ages. Seven seals. Seven trumpets. Seven vials. Seven thunders. Because the book is completed in the book of Revelation. Amen. And we see in the book of Genesis, one word broken, not a sentence, not a paragraph, one word. And one word being broken caused us to be driven out of the Garden of Eden. Amen. And we see when Jesus came in the middle of the Bible, He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Amen. And in the end of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, it says if you add one word, all the plagues in this book will be added to you. And if you take away one word, your name will be taken out of the book of life. So if one word broke and caused us to be taken out of the Garden of Eden, there is no way we can enter back into the Garden of Eden without it being every word. Amen. That's why we cannot accept a denomination. Because they have more than one word broken. And if Adam and Eve in perfection broke one word and it caused them to be taken out, and every hospital, every graveyard, every sick person, every disease is because of one word broken, then there is no way to go back until the fullness of the word comes back into existence. And that word is made manifest in its fullness in a people who are proven to become that full word again. Then this last day bride would have to be put to the same test that Adam and Eve was put to. And if that first bride failed to stay with every word, then for us to go back to Eden, there would have to be a people who would live by every word. But when we look in the book of Revelation, we see that there will be a people who will reign with Jesus for 1,000 years in the millennium. Do you believe there's going to be a millennium? Then we see there will be a people who will live with him in the new city. In the new heavens and the new earth. So it means to say that there would be a people who would prove that they are worthy to go back to that Eden. And if we believe that the fullness of the word has come back to us through the evening message, because it says in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God will be finished. Matthew 17:11 also says Elijah truly shall come and restore all things. Things mean mysteries. Because Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them. Howbeit, when the Holy Spirit is come, he will teach you all things. Then Paul says, the Spirit of God teaches the deep things of God. Then in 1 John, John says, we have received an unction, an anointing from the Holy One. That teaches us all things. So Elijah coming and restoring all things, all the truths that was lost, to bring back one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. But though we have all things restored to us, and it's in tape form and book form, Yet we need the Holy Ghost to teach us all things. Yet we need the anointing to teach us all things. Especially the deep things of God. Because Malachi 4 spoke some very deep things. Because this being the Eagle Age, it was a prophetic ministry bringing forth these prophetic revelations. And he says a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit. Otherwise, it will never become clear. It's not just going to be comparing scripture with scripture. Anybody with a concordance can do that. But it's going to require the teaching of the Holy Spirit to dovetail the word together, to make it fit together. So we see this Bible as a book of redemption. And those things that was in Genesis, in seed form, comes to its full manifestation in the book of Revelation. Because it's a law of reproduction. Every seed brings forth after its kind. And if you know what type of seed is in your field, then you will know what the crop will be. If you plant tomatoes, you can't get cabbages. Amen. Because tomato seed have tomato life. Amen. So we find that if we can see what our seeds are in the book of Genesis, then we know what our crop will be in the book of Revelation. So if we look back in the book of Genesis, and we see a days of Noah, a great scientific age, then we know in the last days in the book of Revelation, there must be a great scientific age again. If we see a day like Sodom in Genesis, a perversion of the human race, perversion of flesh, there must be one in the book of Revelation. If we see a revealing of the Son of Man in Genesis, there must be a revealing of the Son of Man in Revelation. If we see Abraham and Sarah turn back to be young in the book of Genesis, after the Son of Man was revealed, there must be a people to turn back young after the Son of Man is revealed in the book of Revelation. If we see one like Eliezer going to hunt a bride in the evening time in the book of Genesis, there must be one like Eliezer going to get a bride in the evening time in the book of Revelation. If we see one like Enoch, the son from Adam that was translated in Genesis, there must be one like Enoch that's going to be translated in the book of Revelation. Amen. The seventh from the second Adam. Why? Every seed bring forth out its kind. If you see Joseph making himself known to his brothers after his bride is dismissed in the palace in the book of Genesis, you must see one like Joseph revealing himself to his brothers after he dismisses his wife to the palace in the book of Revelation. On and on we can go. If you see Abraham receiving communion from Melchizedek, after he fought the battle and won the victory in the book of Genesis, there will be one who will receive communion with Melchizedek. Because that was a type of the wedding supper. If there was a Rebecca who watered the camel and took her to meet the unseen bridegroom in the book of Genesis, there will be one who will water the world that will take them to meet the unseen bridegroom in the book of Revelation. If there was an Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, there will be a second Adam and a second Eve in the millennium in the book of Revelation. If there was one like Noah who went through the tribulation after Enoch was raptured in the book of Genesis, if there is a group like Noah who went through the tribulation after Enoch was raptured, so there will be a group that will go through the tribulation after the bride is raptured in the book of Revelation. Now if we understand that principle, then we realize everything that is happening on the earth today, then in this hour, we can see where we are placed positionally. And when we know where we are placed positionally, we know what to look for. Because if we don't know what time we're living in, then we wouldn't even know what is promised for that time. And if we don't know what is promised for that time, we wouldn't know what to teach. We wouldn't know what to put the people under expectation for. Because wrong knowledge will bring wrong expectations. Why was the Jews looking for Elijah to come after Elijah had already come? They couldn't recognize Jesus to be the Messiah, though he was scripturally identified and vindicated that he was the fulfillment of the Bible. And they told the apostles, we know Elias must first come. They was looking for something that was already fulfilled. They was expecting something that was already history. Because they failed to recognize from the scripture where those things were fulfilled. Amen. Yet John identified to them that he was the fulfillment of the scripture. Yet Jesus came behind John and confirmed that John was Elijah. Amen. Then we also see in the book of Acts,
Then Apollos, he had come up to the organizations. He was proving that John was Elijah. He was proving. He was proving that Jesus was the Son of Man. Yet he didn't know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Amen. And when the Holy Ghost was poured out, which Jesus' ministry came to make that available, that was a promise prophesied for that age. That was a new dispensation that had started. From God with us to God in us. Yet Peter took the scripture and identified, this is what Joel spake of. Yet Apollos, coming out to the organizations, pulling people out to the organizations to see Elijah, to see the Son of Man, to see the great things God did in his generation, but was stopping short of the promise. Amen. Remember Paul in the book of Hebrews? Chapter 4. He said, let us fear. Let us fear. Lest there's a promise left us. Of entering into his rest. That we should come short of it. Amen. There's a promise left us. That when this bride comes to perfection, she will bring the resurrection. There's a promise left us. That we will have a ministry of the spoken word. There's a promise left us that we shall all be changed. There's a promise left us. That we shall all be changed. Amen. Now, we must enter into that promise. Amen. And the Holy Spirit don't just want to bring us out of. He wants to take us into. Because redemption has two parts. Out of. But into. Amen. Glory.
Amen.
Look, God had sent Moses. God had raised up Moses. A great anointed prophet. Who met a pillar of fire. Who was given signs to confirm his ministry. Who was vindicated mightily with supernatural works by God. Who called an exodus. Who preached the mystery of the slain lamb. Put the people under the token. Amen. Started them on their journey to the promise. Started them on their journey to the promise. Oh, they was happy. They got baptized in the Red Sea. Unto Moses. They saw the cloud. Supernatural cloud in the sky. They saw the supernatural pillar of fire accompanying the prophet wherever he went. Amen. But many of them never even entered the promised land. They was called out of Egypt.
But they never entered into the promise. What is the testimony today? That we come out of the denomination? That is not a testimony. The true testimony of this hour is possessing what have been restored back. Because Caleb is a type of the true believer. Caleb. Amen. And he came to Moses, he came to Joshua. Type of the Holy Spirit. And he said, give me my mountain of which Moses spoke of. He was in Egypt when Moses came. But he saw the prophet on the scene. Coming in the time that it was spoken, the prophet would come. He saw the confirmation of God in the life of the prophet. And he began to expect deliverance by the prophet's message. Then he got baptized in the Red Sea. Then he got sanctified in the wilderness. Then they begin to taste the first fruit of the land. When they brought back the evidence of the promise. Amen. But when he entered into the land, to dwell in the land, he was still remembering how the pillar of fire came to the prophet. He was still remembering all the great signs the prophet did in Egypt. He was still remembering how many fall away when they argued with the prophet. Amen. He still remembered many of the battles the prophet fought. But that wasn't his inspiration. He was under expectation for what the prophet told him was his. When he came to Joshua in that hour, he wasn't saying, I'm glad I come out of Egypt, yes. I thank God for a mighty prophet. I'm glad we're more powerful than them denominations. I am glad we are more powerful than. I like how the prophets stand up against Jannes and Jambres. See, I never believed Balaam was anywhere near Moses. Was anywhere near to Moses. Amen! Caleb wasn't dwelling on those things. He knew about it. He understood it. But the deep inside of his heart, the cry of his soul, the only thing that could really satisfy him was to possess what Moses told him was his. To be placed positionally in his inheritance. Amen. All those other things was part of the message. But in that present season, that was not the part to be emphasized. Hallelujah! It was to come in and possess what was made available to them. And that is why Jesus came back around a second time. Because
St. Luke 24, verse 32.
Kubanga muluka biri munya biri mubiri.
Said he opened the scriptures to them.
The
scriptures were sealed up.
They
had all kind of interpretations. But when Elijah revealed the Son of Man, understand how I'm saying that? Understand how I am saying that? Because John was Elijah. And he was looking for the word to come to him. Because the word must come to the prophet to vindicate the prophet as a true prophet. The Sadducees were looking for the Messiah to come to them. The Pharisees were looking for the Messiah to come to them. But the word don't come to theologians. The word comes to a prophet. And while the prophet was baptizing in the water, amen, the word came to the prophet. Amen. The prophet standing there heard a supernatural voice. Amen. For many, many years, that prophet was looking for a dove to confirm his message. But one day he saw that dove. Hallelujah! And the dove led the eagle to recognize the word. And that word, which is Christ, was the mystery of God revealed. And the prophet unveiled that mystery and introduced him to the public. Behold the Lamb of God. Amen. Elijah was not the Son of Man, but he was revealing the Son of Man to the public. Amen. Then that word was so scripturally identified, because he said, search the scriptures that testify who I am. And Luke 24, it says he opened to them the scriptures. The opening of the word to reveal himself out of the word. So here was the word himself revealing himself in the word itself, proving he was the fulfillment of the prophesied promises. Amen. And then Luke 24, verse 45, it says, then he opened the understanding. He opened the word first. Then he opened the understanding after. That they might understand the word that was opened. 1963, he opened the word. But many of us, our understanding was still closed to the word that was opened. So we didn't know if he's to come back. We didn't know if the prophet is to come back. If he only we don't know if the prophet is to come back. Many of us in 1963,
When the prophet came and opened the word, our understanding was not yet opened to the word that was opened. And because our understanding was not yet opened, we didn't know if the prophet was to come back. We didn't know if he opened all the word. Some said he only opened 6 seals. Others said he opened all 7 seals. Some said he's to come back. Others said he's never come back. Many was caught in between. They didn't know what to believe. Amen. They wish this thing wouldn't be so confusing. Amen. But then down through the years, His grace began to open our understanding. He said, the world will not see me, but you will see me, because I will come unto you and I will make myself known unto you. Hallelujah. And so we found out that the same way you couldn't add to the Bible, you couldn't add to the Bible, was the very same way you couldn't add to the message. Because of the way certain things were spoken in the Bible, it made great learned theologians think that somebody will have to come and reveal those things that is not written in the Bible. Amen. And one day a man asked Brother Branham. He says, oh, Brother Branham, there's not a man like you in the earth. There's not a man like you in the earth. Thunders and these things are not even written in the Bible. He said, I realized he was trying to trap me. Now watch the prophet how scripture he was. He says, no sir, that cannot be so. Because according to this Bible, you cannot add one word or take away one word. It is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ. He says, come to find out, it was hid in the book. It's not that it was not written in the book. It was hid in the book. And the way that the theologians taught the people the scriptures. The way that the theologians taught the people the scriptures. Is why they missed the word when it is being fulfilled. That is why these Pharisees missed Jesus. That is why the Sadducees missed Jesus. All the great learned theologians. Because they were taught it the wrong way. And because they had wrong knowledge, they had wrong expectation. And because they had wrong expectation, they couldn't recognize the promise when it was being manifested before them. The prophets of all these denominations claiming that they were the true church. The prophet saw all these denominations claiming they were the true church. He says, no, 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 no. When you're looking for a true church, you must know the characteristic that identifies the true church. He said there are five definite identifications of the true church of the living God. He found people in this age, everybody have a little sensation and they're claiming they saw God. He says, no, no, no. God is identified by his own characteristics. He says, he preached the unrecognized presence of God. Yet everybody was claiming they're in the presence of God. That the presence of God is with them. And he preached the presence of God unrecognized. They was all coming out of the seminaries thinking they understand God, they understand the word. They was all coming out of the seminaries thinking that they understand God. That they received the understanding of the word there. He says, God being misunderstood. Amen. He says they have the wrong concept of what they're looking for. So they can't recognize it when they see it. He says, if you don't know what a pumpkin is, if you don't know what a pumpkin is, you can get a watermelon and think you have a pumpkin. If I would say, brother, go and, brother Joseph, go and get a, buy me a chicken. We want to make a little, cook some food. And he said, brother Vin, to tell you the truth, I have never seen a chicken. I wouldn't even know what to look for. How am I going to know it when I see one? So that I wouldn't bring the wrong thing. I said, oh, but it's simple. A chicken has 2 feet. 2 eyes. A beak. 2 wings. And feathers. Oh, he said, is it that simple? He could go and bring a turkey. He could bring a duck. Amen. So we have to be a little more specific with our identification. Because the Baptist saying Jesus died for our sins. Jesus rose from the grave. The Pentecostal saying the same thing. 7 days Adventist saying the same thing. But we have to be a little more specific in this hour. To make sure these things are thoroughly and scripturally identified. And if it's properly identified, God will vindicate it to be the truth. Amen. So we're going to come back this evening because the time is up. And I'll have to be long. I was supposed to preach 2 messages today. And I really had 1 message in 2 parts. That was kind of long. And I'm just kind of speaking to you to get your focus to where I want to go in the Word. But I wanted to see that you must have the right concept and the right approach. And we must know the time that we are living in. And what is promised for this time, especially what the Word say concerning us. So we can put the right emphasis in the right place. I'll just read a quote before we close. Is in the message of Future Home. And the English book is page
38.
He says, if you are the bride, the bride is a part of the husband. And the only place that you will ever recognize it is recognize what part of that husband, that word you are. Or you can't recognize being the bride. He said, how many sees that? How many sees that here? You must recognize what part you are. See, you have to recognize your position. You can't recognize somebody else's. Now, the script in Malachi 4:5, it said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he is a personal pronoun singular. It's masculine. It's masculine. That is not she. It's not them. That is a one-man scripture. One man, he. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound. That is a one-man scripture. That is not she, that is he. That is a one-man move. That is not your scripture. That ain't my scripture. Only one person since creation could identify itself in that scripture. That was Brother Branham. And when it was interpreted in his life, he said, this day is this scripture fulfilled. On the message, what is the attraction in the mountain? He said, what is the attraction? Prophecy is becoming history. For seven church ages, that was a prophecy. But when it was interpreted in his life, it became history. Just like Luther's history. Just like Paul's history. Just like Moses' history. It became history. Amen. It was a one-man scripture. One man like Eliezer. Going to hunt a bride. One man like John. For running the first coming. But the bride is out of a little group of the true seed. The bride is out of a little group of the true seed. God will have a bride.
That's a many-membered body. Because from 1965, when the prophet went off the scene, until 1992, for 27 years, that word has already been fulfilled. Amen. And there is no more one man scripture after that scripture. Amen. But part of his message became history, and part of the message remained a prophecy. You say, what you getting at? You say, what are you getting at? We shall be changed. That hasn't happened as yet. Amen? When the squeeze comes, what's the third pull then? That hasn't happened as yet. When the squeeze comes, amen. Those things are prophecies. He says, the pyramid shall live again. The pyramid. The tree of life will bloom again. The house of God will stand again. Amen. There is going to be a restoration of the bride tree. She will have the same kind of leaves that the first tree had. She will have the same kind of bark that the first tree had. She will bear the same kind of fruit that the first tree had. She will have the same kind of life that the first tree had. Amen. So he had prophesied these things in the last days, when the true bride church nears the headstone. Nears the headstone. When it gets near to the headstone. She will be in his own image in order to be united with him. She will be the super race, the super church. Those things have to be fully manifested and identified in the lives of those who claim to be the bride. Amen. So 27 years have passed, and many are still looking back. But God wants to emphasize to us the part of the word that is to be fulfilled in us, because we must quicken those words and bring them to life. What made Jesus the Messiah? He took the scriptures and he took his experience, his very own life, and he brought them together and they dovetailed to prove he was the fulfillment. What made John the forerunner? He took the scripture, he took his own life, and they dovetailed together. What made Mary the virgin who brought forth the Messiah? She took the scripture that was laying there for 712 years.
She took the scripture that was laying there in the Bible for 712 years. A virgin shall conceive. She recognized that was her name. She didn't try to claim Elijah's part. She didn't try to claim Elijah's part. She didn't try to claim the Son of Man part. Amen. John didn't try to claim Jesus' part. They even asked him, art thou the Christ? They asked him, art thou the Christ? He says, no. Who art thou? He says, I'm the voice of one. He knew his part. Amen. He couldn't recognize somebody else's part. Though they all live in the same age. Though they all lived in the same age. Though they was all part of the move of God in that age. Each had to recognize what part they were. It's only when that part is revealed to us, then we have an open channel of inspiration to live out that word. And make it manifest. When you understand your position, that gives a perfect faith. Perfect faith is not going to follow the sky and we'll get all powerful before the resurrection. Rapture in faith is laying in the message. But it's laid in the message for too long. It must come out of the message and come in the bride now. Because it's not the books going to be raptured into heaven. So the books don't need the rapture in faith to stay inside it. We are the ones to be raptured. Then somehow we must find the rapture in faith in the message and get it inside of us. Because he said these divinely revealed mystery truths contained in the seven seals will literally turn your heart back to the faith of the fathers. And faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Amen. So God have raised up a fivefold ministry. Just like what followed in the Alpha Bride. What was in the Alpha Bride? In the Alpha Bride had a fivefold ministry. And the Alpha Bride is who was called out by the ministry of the Son of Man. And the Son of Man was revealed by Elijah. And Elijah has come again. And the Son of Man has been revealed again. And there's a bride called out again. And in that bride, there's a fivefold ministry. Amen. To bring the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. The perfecting of the saints. Until we come to a perfect man. It's a tremendous time. So as we would take our interval, May we come back ready for a good long service. Amen. That God could really lift us up in heavenly places. God, we should bless you. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace. These precious people and the desire and the anticipations that they have for the word. I pray these few opening remarks have begin to stimulate their faith and their desire for more of you, Lord. And Lord God, may as we will have to take a little interval at this time, but come back in a little while where you will meet with us. Oh, how we desire that, Father, that you break the bread of life to us and you will make yourself known in the breaking of the bread. Bless the people. Give them rest. May they be nourished and strengthened. May they be refreshed, that we would be gathered this evening. Lord, you can speak to our hearts. We commit everyone into your hands now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. Back to the pastor.
We shall just break. Shall break. And just let the brethren have lunch. Then at exactly 3. All of us waiting upon the Lord. Expect a long service, praise God. So let us just stand up. I want us just to sing that come and dine.
Come and dine, the Master is calling. Come and dine. You may face that Jesus table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. So the hungry call it.
Now, praise God.